Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Do we really love God? If so, are we turned away from sin? How do we know that we've been born of God? When we love someone, we want to do all that we can do to please them. We want their approval and their acceptance. Therefore, we will do all that we can to please them. Hello again, God's beautiful people, and welcome to another episode of 5 Minutes. It's the show that's committed to bringing you uplifting and inspirational word to help you through those hard times. In last week's message, we touched on one of the proofs that a person loves God. There are 6 tests, and we went over test number 1. This week, we'll go a little deeper as we see some of the ways that a person who loves God proves it. Now, there's a great need for a believer to be delivered, as man is sinful and he transgresses the law. No matter how you try to slice it or turn it to fit your own taste, the Bible says that we're all sinners and have fallen short of his glory. Now, some people don't like to be called a sinner because they equate that to something bad. They equate that to those gross sins like murder or robbery or cheating on their spouses. They think that their sins are not as bad as the ones that we might see on TV, Facebook, or even read about in the papers. The sins that they commit, at least in their own minds, are only shortcomings or little mistakes that just for the moment they just happen to make because of a bad decision or a mental flaw of some kind. What sin to God is simply not what we think it is. Sin to God is transgression of the law, his law. Sin to God is living your way instead of his way. It's doing what you want instead of what he wants. Sin is ignoring and neglecting God instead of following and worshiping him. God is perfect and he only accepts perfection. Sin is imperfection. Sin is transgression. So if God requires perfection, which none of us are, and sin is imperfection, then how can I become the vision of perfection in God's eyes? Well, it's just this simple. The provision for deliverance is Jesus Christ. When he comes into our lives, things are suddenly changed. What we used to do, we no longer have a desire to do. We want to live perfect and holy lives. Jesus was a perfect and ideal man. So as the ideal man, that means his death was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. When we believe in him, God no longer sees the mistakes that or sins that we've made in our lives. He now sees us as the perfect image of his son who took on all of our sins on himself. They're removed from us, thereby we become acceptable to God. Now the proof of deliverance is this. If Christ abides in a person, meaning that he dwells or lives inside of us, and he's without sin, then that person whom Christ lives will live a life without sin. Now again, I mentioned that we're all sinners, not because we sin, but because of our nature. With Christ living inside of us, we then take on his nature. Now think of this. If we love God, then our lives ought to be a direct reflection of him through Jesus Christ. We should display love, joy, peace, happiness, all the traits of the spirits. If he abides in us and we in him, then our lives should be turned from sin. We should no longer practice or even have a desire to live in sin. We must remember that we're still short of God's glory and we're still sin because we are human of flesh and blood, because we are not perfect. But if we keep in our minds and we keep it focused on Christ and have a desire to live in that manner, then we can be turned away in obedience. The believer must labor tirelessly to live a righteous life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ is a conqueror, and he hath been and always will be victorious over Satan. Here are 2 points in which John wants to point out to the reader. Number 1, anyone who lives a habitual life of sin, not individual acts of sin, but those that go on willingly disobeying God, ignoring him, Jesus said that that person is of their father, the devil. If we're not followers of God and remain in disobedience, then we are his enemies. God hates the sin, not the person. He loves us all. But there will come a time that if that person continues to live a life that's of disregard and not heeding his warning, then they will be cut off from God's presence. Satan tries to charge us with sin by making us second guess ourselves. The Bible says that he is a liar and a father of liars. No one, not even him, can lay any type of charge to God's people, because why? We're loved by him and we've been justified by God. The results of all of this is freedom and deliverance from sin and death. And the one who's born of God would no longer continue to sin. He's free from living a life and practicing sin. Now, scripture's not saying that a person will be perfectly sinless, because no man on this earth will ever be able to achieve that. But what it does say is that once the divine nature of God is implanted in that person, he would no longer go on practicing sin. This is the second test and the proof that we love God. Now, in the end of is this. We love God because of what he's done for us. He gave his love to the world in the most supreme way possible by giving up his son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, the person who has Jesus Christ in their heart wants to live a life that is acceptable and pleasing to God. They strive each day to live a life in which they sacrifice themselves to him. The Bible says to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, one that is holy and acceptable unto him. Now, I will leave you with this thought for the week. Remember how Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Well, that's my time. I pray that you all have a blessed week. You're a child of God that is loved dearly by him, and he wants nothing more but to give you the blessings that he has in store for you. We love God because he first loved us. One love, 5 minutes.